I want this evening, at the close of our meeting, to preach on the subject, a woman who got saved in the prayer meeting. And of course, the individual that I'm thinking about is a well-known character in the Bible, Lydia, the seller of purple. Look with me there at Acts chapter 16 and verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and the colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 15, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of His precious word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Let's ask the Lord for His help as we come to consider this subject tonight. Maybe there's someone here this evening and you're not a Christian. Well, we want to pray for you. We want to pray tonight that the Lord will open your heart to see your need of Christ. And even this evening, that you will come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Thy so great salvation. O God, it's so great because of the price that was paid for it. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus laid down His life a ransom for the many. And He shed His precious blood upon the cross in order to redeem sinners from hell and judgment to come. We thank Thee tonight, O God, that salvation is freely offered to the whosoever will. And O God, we pray tonight for those in this service who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even tonight, they will come and put their faith and trust in Thee. O God, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus is the Savior. He's the only Savior, but He is the sufficient Savior. For He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to Him. O God, we thank Thee for this great truth tonight, that the Lord Jesus loves sinners, is willing to forgive them, willing to save them, willing to bring them home to heaven, willing to give them everlasting life. O God, I pray this evening at the close of this service that there might be those who will turn from their sin and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray, Lord, that You would fill us with Your gracious Holy Spirit. And O God, tonight that You would help us to say only those things that will be pleasing to Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Lydia was converted on a Sabbath day just outside the city of Philippi at an open-air prayer meeting. That's what we learn in this passage of Scripture which we have read. When you study these verses, you learn very quickly that Lydia was a very religious woman before she was converted to Christ, because the Bible tells us that she was a worshipper of God. And yet, although she was a woman who was God-fearing, she still needed to become a Christian. She still needed to be saved and to become a follower of Christ in order to get into heaven and in order to escape the flames of hell. The Bible tells us that Lydia listened to the preaching of the gospel And as she listened to the preaching of the gospel, that the Lord opened her heart and she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Redeemer. In other words, after hearing the message of the gospel, she repented of her sin and put her faith in Jesus Christ, accepting Him alone as her own and personal Redeemer. We have here recorded wonderful words, because we have here recorded words whereby we read this woman was gloriously converted to Christ. After Lydia was saved, her life was changed forever, and she began to serve the Lord with all her heart. She publicly confessed that she was a Christian. The Bible tells us here that she was baptized. And then after Lydia was baptized, she opened up her home to help the servants of God. I wonder tonight, are there those in this meeting, and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, but over these past number of weeks or months, perhaps you have been thinking seriously about coming and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Well, I pray tonight that you will stop thinking about doing that, and that you will step out by faith and trust Christ as your Redeemer. And my prayer for you this evening is this, that the Lord will open up your heart and that you will turn from your sin and trust Christ as your Redeemer. As we come to consider this woman who was saved in a prayer meeting, or the conversion of Lydia, there's a number of things very simply that I want you to notice. And I pray that you listen very carefully as we consider how the Lord saved this woman and how the Lord made her a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because, as we have emphasized already, although the Bible emphasizes here to us that she was a religious woman before she was converted, she still needed to be saved by the grace of God. And my friend, no matter how religious you are, no matter how good living you may be, and we have often emphasized this truth from this pulpit, and we will continue to do this, because the Bible clearly teaches that no matter how religious a man or woman is, all men, irrespective of how they live upon this earth, need to be born again of the Spirit of God, and they need to be saved by the grace of God if they're ever going to enter into heaven. First of all, I want you to notice that in the conversion of Lydia, we see the providence of God. We see the mercy of God. The Bible tells us that Lydia was from the city of Thyatira. I'm sure that you noticed that in verse 15. Look at it. It says here, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was in Asia. But in Acts chapter 16, Lydia is found in the city of Philippi, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from her native home. Now the big question is this, why was she in the city of Philippi? You say to me, well, she was there to sell her wares. After all, the Bible does say she was a seller of purple. And that is right, she was a seller of purple. But why did she not go to Athens or to Bithynia? Why did she not stay in her own city of Thyatira, all of which were as rich and wealthy as Philippi? Do you want to know why at this particular time in her history Lydia was in Philippi? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God brought Lydia to this city of Philippi. I believe that with all my heart. In the providence of God, in the will of God, the Almighty God of heaven brought Lydia to Philippi. And of course, as we're going to see just in a moment, He brought her there for a particular reason. But you'll notice, as you study this passage of Scripture, that not only in the providence of God did the Lord bring Lydia to Philippi at this particular time, but in the providence of God, the Lord also brought the Apostle Paul to Philippi at this particular time. Now, we didn't take the time to read all the verses, But when you study the verses prior to the conversion of Lydia, you can see very clearly the leading of the Lord in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul did not want to go to Philippi initially. He wanted to go to Asia. Look at verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You see, Paul initially wanted to go to Asia to preach the gospel, but the Lord told him not to go to Asia. That's what we have there in verse 6. Then Paul wanted to go to Bithynia. Look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So after the Lord forbid them to go to Asia, Paul decided, well, we'll go to Bithynia. But the Lord told him not to go to Bithynia. That's what we have there in verse 7. And then in verse 10, the Lord tells Paul where he wants him to go. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord called Paul and sent Paul to Macedonia. And of course, the city of Philippi is in Macedonia. And of course, Lydia was in the city of Philippi. Look what it says in verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So here we can see the Lord dealing with the Apostle Paul and leading and guiding the Apostle Paul. You can see how the Lord is bringing these two people together. And although they were hundreds and hundreds of miles apart, all of a sudden Lydia found herself in the city of Philippi, and the Apostle Paul, after the leading of the Lord, found himself in the city of Philippi. You see, it was the Lord that brought these two people together. Why? Well, so that Lydia could hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was so arranging Lydia's circumstances and so guiding the Apostle Paul that both would meet, so that Lydia would hear words whereby she could be saved. What does providence mean when we speak about the providence of God? It means the timely care of God. It means the foresight of God. Providence is God arranging our circumstances in order to show His mercy towards us. Senator, why are you here tonight? You said to me, well, someone brought me here. I'm here because someone gave me an invitation. Well, that may be so, but I believe you're here in the providence and in the will of God. Why am I here tonight? Because God in His providence has brought me here. Why has God in His providence so arranged our circumstances to bring us together so that I could preach the gospel and so that you could hear the gospel and be saved? The Lord has so arranged your circumstances, maybe not only tonight, but over these past weeks, over these past months, maybe even over these past years. And you've heard the gospel, and you've listened to the message of saving grace. And as you have listened to the message of the gospel, the Lord has spoken to you, as He spoke to Lydia, and we're going to say more about that in a moment. But it's not coincidental that you're here tonight. Never think that. Never think, my friend, it's an accident that you're here this evening. There's no accidents with God. God, in His sovereign will, has brought you here this evening to hear God's precious word. I believe that with all my heart. And that encourages me, because that tells me something. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that tells me that God has an interest in your soul. God has an interest in your eternal destiny. Because the Lord has brought you here tonight in order to hear the message of the gospel,
in order so that you might not only hear, but come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a mercy of God that He has brought you here tonight to hear the message of the gospel. Oh, I wonder, have you ever thought about God's mercy in that way to you before? My friend, if you have never thought about it, then think about it tonight. The Lord loves you this evening. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Before a sinner can be saved, they've got to hear the word. They've got to hear the gospel. Because sinners cannot be saved without hearing the message of the gospel or reading the word of God for themselves. And here the Lord has brought you under the sound of the gospel tonight again. That's mercy. That's His grace. That's His providence that has done that. You could have been out in a pub tonight. You could have been out in a dance hall tonight. You could have been out in some other den of iniquity this evening, far away from the sound of the gospel. But in God's mercy, He has brought you here to hear the message of the gospel. Can you see here the providence of God in the life of Lydia? She lived in the city of Thyatira, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Philippi. God brought her down to Philippi. And then, can you see how the Lord led Paul? When he wanted to go in a different direction, can you see how the Lord led him to Philippi to preach? Child of God, there's a lesson here for you and me. We should always be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We should always be sensitive to God's guidance in our lives day by day. There's no knowing who the Lord wants us to speak to tomorrow or next week or next month. That's why it's so important to know the will of God day by day and to do the will of God day by day. Now there's something else I want you to notice here about the conversion of Lydia. Not only the providence of God in her conversion, but secondly, take a look again at Acts chapter 16. In the conversion of Lydia, we see the preaching of Christ. As soon as the Apostle Paul came face to face with Lydia and the rest of these women that were gathered at this riverside, he preached Christ to them. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Underline those words. Whose heart the Lord opened. We'll say more about that in a moment. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What did Paul preach that day? Well, he preached the message that he always preached. Christ and Him crucified. When the Apostle Paul met Lydia, he preached Christ unto her. As soon as the providence of God had brought them both together, Paul preached the Son of God to this woman in all His fullness. Now, of course, this was the only message that Paul had, and it was the only message that Paul needed. And of course, it was the message that Lydia needed to hear as well. Paul would have told Lydia about the birth of Christ, how He was born into this world sinless. Paul would have told Lydia about the blood of Christ, about the sacrifice of Christ, how He'd lived a perfect life but then died an atoning death upon the cross for sinners. Paul would have told Lydia about the burial of Christ and about the bodily resurrection of Christ. Lydia would have heard about how Christ could save a sinner from hell, and how the Lord Jesus could bring a sinner to heaven, and how that someday the Lord Jesus Christ would come again to this earth. Paul, as he would have preached that day to Lydia and all the other ladies that were gathered in that open-air prayer meeting, he would have expounded unto them the message of the gospel. But in doing so, he would have pointed them to the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Of course, he would have told them about repentance unto life. Of course, he would have told them the importance of them exercising faith in Jesus Christ. He would have explained to them the ABC of the gospel, of their need of God's redemption and God's salvation. But
through it all and above it all, he would have pointed them to the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus, of course, is the only Savior and the only Redeemer. My friend, as you're gathered in this house tonight, again, I have only one message for you. I have only one message for your heart this evening. And it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Therefore, you need to hear the message of the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Savior died, but not only that He died, but that He rose again. And you can only be saved by accepting the Son of God as your own and personal Redeemer. You see, the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, it says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We're here tonight to preach the gospel to you. Because the Bible says that it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. Oh, my friend, I wonder, are you saved tonight? Have you ever, by faith, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? I know that there are those here tonight, and you have never, by faith, trusted Christ as your Savior. You need to come to Christ tonight, because He is the only one that can bring you to heaven. He's the only one that can save you from hell. He's the only one that can deliver your soul from a lost eternity. And you will notice that wherever Paul went, indeed, wherever the apostles went, and we could consider any of the apostles that we read about in the New Testament, the one message that they declared, and the only message that they declared, was Christ and Him crucified. It says in Acts 8 verse 5, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. You need Christ tonight. It's not the church you need. It's not good living you need. It's not a set of morals that you need. You need Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And while men think they can live without Christ, there's one thing for sure, they can't afford to die without Him. Because, my friend, to die without Christ is to die without hope. To die without Christ is to be lost forever and forever and forever. But thank God, I have good news for you this evening. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the place called Calvary, because He has finished the work of redemption, and because He has risen again, and because He ever lives to make intercession for His people, the Lord Jesus can save you tonight. He can, in other words, He can prepare your soul for heaven. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that a wonderful message? Isn't that a glorious truth? My friend, what a wonderful message the message of the gospel is. Because it's all about the Son of God, who died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. You see, there's a way back to God from the dark past of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. Your sin tonight is bringing you down to a lost eternity. Your sin tonight is bringing you down to hell. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus died for sinners. And thank God, because He has died and because He has risen again, there is hope for the sinner. There's hope for you and me. That means that there's salvation for you and me. Oh, my friend, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And that is the truth of the matter this evening. I wonder, have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and as your personal Savior? Here's the gospel in a nutshell. The words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to these words, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel that Lydia heard. That's the message that she heard that day as Paul stood in the open air and preached to her. And my friend, it's the same message today. I wonder this evening, will you come and put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior? But turn back again to Acts chapter 16. Notice something else here. Not only the providence of God in her conversion, not only the preaching of Christ in her conversion, Paul pointed her to the Lord, but notice that thirdly, in the conversion of Lydia, we see the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, she heard the gospel from us, whose heart the Lord opened. Underline those words. The Holy Spirit opened her heart. The blessed third person in the Holy Trinity opened her heart. Opened her heart to listen to the Word of God. Verse 14. To understand the Word of God. Verse 14. To accept the Word of God. Verse 15. To obey the Word of God. To live the Word of God out in our life. Verse 15. In other words, this woman got saved, and after she got saved, her life was changed forever. Look what it says at the end of verse 14 and verse 15. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, friend, you've been coming to the church now for many months, many years maybe. And you've listened to the Word of God. And you've listened to the message of the gospel. You know you're a sinner. You know that Jesus died for sinners. You know that if you put your trust in Him and call upon Him in repentance and faith, that He will save you. You've heard the message from the preacher. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever attended unto the things which you've heard? In other words, have you ever believed on Christ? Have you ever accepted Him as your own and personal Savior? Have you ever got down on your knees, whether in the church or whether at home or whether at your bedside or whether somewhere else? Have you ever got down on your knees and cried out, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Save me now." Have you ever done that? Have you ever attended unto the things that you've heard? Because friend, until you do, you'll never be saved. Until you do, you will never know anything of sins forgiven. Until you do, you will never have the assurance of redemption. Until you do, your life will never be changed. Because religion will not change your life. Coming to church every week will not change your life. Listening to me preach the gospel every week will not change your life. You've got to attend unto the things that you've heard. You've got to accept what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God says. Not just in your head, but in your heart. You see, the Bible says that Lydia's heart was opened. Lydia's heart was touched. The Lord spoke to her heart. Is the Lord speaking to your heart tonight? Oh, my friend, don't close your ears to His voice. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Over there in Romans chapter 10, in verse 9 and 10, we read these words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, this salvation that we're talking about, it's a heart thing, it's a heart matter. Is your heart right before God? In Jeremiah 29 verse 13 it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So important that you come in true faith and in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord spoke to her heart. I believe that the Lord has spoken to your heart. Not only tonight, but in past nights. I believe that as you have sat under the sound of the gospel and as the word of God has gone forth, that your heart has been touched. In other words, you have felt your need of Christ. You realize that you're a sinner. You realize you need to be saved. And maybe in past nights, you were just about to come to Christ. You were just about to get saved, but something stopped you. Something hindered you. My friend, I wonder, is that something going to hinder you again this evening? You know, the Lord has been so good to you. Because in His providence and in His mercy, He has brought you into God's house again this evening to hear His word, to hear about the Savior, to hear about the one who can redeem you. And your heart is touched. My friend, you've got to take that final step. And you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You've got to attend unto the things that you hear. You see, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. You have the responsibility to respond positively to the message of the gospel. And of course, there's one of two ways that you can respond. You can either say, no, I don't want to be saved tonight, although I know the Lord is speaking to me. Or else you can say, yes, I'm going to be saved tonight. But you have a responsibility. And once I finish preaching, and once I say the last amen, then my responsibility is over. Because I have sought to preach the word of God as faithfully as I know how. I have sought to explain God's word as faithfully as I know how. But once I say amen at the end of the sermon, then it's your responsibility to attend unto the things that you've heard. And God says you have to repent, you must believe, you must come and trust Him. I wonder tonight, will you do that? You say to me, preacher, I would love to be saved tonight, but I'm afraid. Well, what are you afraid of? Let us just stop for a moment and consider some of the things that you might be afraid of. You say, well, preacher, I'm afraid if I get saved tonight that my friends would laugh at me. And the friends that I run about with at school or at university or at work, they wouldn't want to know me anymore. Well, first of all, let me say that if you got saved tonight and they didn't want to know you anymore, you'd be safer without them, for they're no good to you. But I can remember before I got saved, I was afraid of what my friends would say. But you know, friend, you know what I found out? I found out that after I got saved,
The people that I thought would laugh at me, they didn't laugh. Indeed, they wished me all the best, although they never got saved themselves. They shook me by the hand and they said, "Listen, John, it's not for us, but all the best to you." And the people that I thought wouldn't have laughed, they did laugh. But you know, at that point it didn't matter about them anymore, because I was saved, I knew I was going to heaven, I knew my sins were forgiven. So I wasn't worried about anyone laughing at me at that point. You see, you're worrying about something that's not going to matter after you get saved. Because it's the moment you get saved, and the moment you know that you have eternal life, and the moment you know you're going to heaven, and the moment you know that your sins are forgiven, the last thing you're going to think about is somebody laughing at you. You say to me, "Preacher, I'd love to be saved tonight, but what about my family?" You know, when I got saved, I was the first one saved in my family. I had two brothers and two sisters, my mum and dad, none of them saved. And I came from a very ungodly home. And humanly speaking, people would have said, "Well, there's no chance of that lad going on with God. There's no chance in that home of that boy going on with God." And I'm sure many said, "He'll not last too long. Because his father and mother are not saved. His brothers and sisters are not saved. His father's too fond of the drink. And give him a few weeks. Give him a few months. And there's no way that lad's going to go on with God." Listen, friend, if God saves you, he'll keep you. And I don't care what situation you have to go home to. If God saves you and opens up your heart and changes your life, no one will stop you from going on with God, because the God that saves is the God that keeps, no matter what the circumstances may be. And I'll tell you this, God will take away your fears tonight, whatever your fear is. You say to me, "Preacher, I'd love to be saved tonight, but I couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep it." Well, you're dead right, you couldn't keep it. Because it's God that keeps us. And God will give you the grace to be saved, and God will give you the grace to walk with him tomorrow, and God will give you the grace to walk with him next week. Did he not give Lydia the grace? Look at verse 15. "And when she was baptized, she openly confessed to everyone that she was now a follower of Christ." That's what baptism is. "And her whole household got saved." Listen, there's no knowing what God will do in your life and in your family if you come to Christ tonight and be saved. I said a moment ago that I was the first one saved in my home. I'll tell you this, I wasn't the last one. For one by one, my brothers and sisters got saved. My father got saved. One by one, I seen other people come to Christ. And that old home that was so racked with sin, the Lord did a miracle in it. The Lord did it. And the Lord can do the same for you. You could be the very means of leading your brothers and sisters and your mother and father to Christ if you would only but come to him tonight. That's what happened in the home of Lydia. My friend, that's what we're told here in verse 15. That after she was saved, that she led her family to Christ. And then she started to serve the Lord. Look what it says. "She besought us, saying, 'If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.'" And she constrained us. You say to me, "Well, she didn't do much for the Lord." I'll tell you, friend, she did much for the Lord, because she helped the servants of God. We don't read that she ever became a foreign missionary. We don't read that she ever became a great evangelist. But we do read that she opened her home to the servants of God. And the Lord used her. And the Lord can use you. But my friend, before the Lord can use you, he's got to save you. And before you can be saved, you've got to trust him. Will you trust him tonight? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. is striving with you and making you concerned about your soul. Come to Christ tonight and trust Him. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy precious word. O God, we thank Thee for saving Lydia and although she was very religious, God-fearing woman in many ways, she still needed the experience of the new birth. She still needed to be born again. And God, I pray tonight for those in this service who are still strangers to grace and to God. And oh God, we're so thankful that they do come to God's house every week, both morning and evening. We're so thankful, Lord, that they have a desire to come and hear the word of God. But Lord, we're so conscious, Lord, that in itself is not enough. Their hearts need to be opened. Their hearts need to be cleansed. Oh God, I pray tonight that they will step out and trust the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Redeemer. First, in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.